Coming up on Terp Weekly Edition, a new president prepares to take the reins in College Park.
We'll tell you what issue brought some of the country's biggest sports journalists together under one roof.
Find out which hilarious comedian hit up College Park last Thursday.
And grab your running shoes. These Terps are going the distance. Terp Weekly Edition starts now.
This is Terp Weekly Edition, a look at the issues and news in and around the University of Maryland College Park. Terp Weekly Edition is produced by students of the Philip Merrill College of Journalism in cooperation with WMUC Radio.
Welcome to Terp Weekly Edition. I'm Cindy Lee.
And I'm Jesse Brecker. The Thirsty Turtle now faces student opposition in the wake of the October 12th stabbing incident. The SGA is backing a recommendation by police officials that the local bar's liquor license be revoked. Turtle is under review by Prince George's County Board of License Commissioners and must face multiple hearings this November that could potentially suspend or strip the bar of its license. The SGA voted 14-9 to testify against the Thirsty Turtle and support University Police Chief David Mitchell, who has publicly led the charge against the bar.
For years, students have associated leadership at the university with one name, Dan Moat. This week, Wallace Lowe steps into the role. TWE's Beth Schwartz looks at some of the changes he will bring.
Maryland students may have a lot to say when it comes to football, tailgating, or underage drinking, but when it comes to our new university president, a lot of them are left speechless.
Wallace Lowe?
Lowe.
Who's that?
Yeah, I don't really know that much about him.
I got an email saying that there would be one and that there was like a welcome dinner or something, like
reception or something.
Yeah. But that's pretty much it.
I haven't really paid attention to it at all.
However, Wallace Lowe, who officially takes office this week, also has a lot to say about issues that many students are passionate about.
I know he's trying to crack down on the inappropriate behavior at sporting events.
Lowe comes to UMD from the University of Iowa with a strong agenda in mind that includes improving fan behavior at sporting events and cutting down on underage drinking. He has already scheduled 25 meetings with academic departments and student groups.
And I'm planning on going to a reception that's welcoming him and his wife on campus next Wednesday.
Those who are informed about Lowe's arrival have taken the initiative to learn more about him, and overall are impressed with what they've seen.
Yeah, I mean, it's all things that like a university president should be, you know, involved with and worried about. So I think he's doing a good job so far.
In College Park, Beth Schwartz, Terp Weekly Edition.
Change was also on the minds of some prominent sports journalists. Our Alex Dobberson was front row at the panel discussion, hosted by Shirley Povich Chair for Sports Journalism, Kevin Blackistone, as they discussed diversity in sports.
What happened to diversity in sports media? That was the question Shirley Povich Chair and AOL Fanhouse columnist Kevin Blackistone asked a panel of esteemed sports journalists last week in the Richard Eaton Broadcast Theater in Knight Hall. NBA superstar LeBron James was the subject of massive debate this summer when he left the Cleveland Cavaliers for the Miami Heat, and his recent comments that race has played a role in his negative public perception was the inspiration for the first question posed by Blackistone.
If you think that people of color and women are being accurately and fairly portrayed by sports journalists right now, and if we've had better times, if we're headed to worse times, where we might be?
USA Today columnist Christine Brennan was the first to tackle the question.
I don't know if there's any malice. There's not anyone out to make sure there's not coverage of African Americans in sports or women in sports. I think sometimes the economic conditions and the times certainly dictate.
Most of the panelists, including BostonGlobe.com sports editor Greg Lee, agreed that a lot of the malice exhibited isn't within the sports media. It's from the public.
It's Boston. I mean, I still have black female reporters who write their stories. One of our reporters, she's horrified when she reads comments. And I just tell her, you just gotta just leave it alone because that's what they do. And I have a boss who supports the ideals and goals that I would like to achieve to make sure our newsrooms are reflective of our society. And that's what it's come down to, the advocates. And there aren't many advocates in leadership positions in our newsrooms.
Blackistone praised his boss, AOL Fanhouse Editor-in-Chief Scott Ridge, for being one of the few advocates working to diversify the sports media.
Scott never really talked to me about diversity and the importance of it, but clearly, Scott, you saw something in it, and you have put together what I would argue is as diverse a national sports website as exists.
The discussion concluded with a question and answer session with the audience that yielded an ironic discovery by Brennan.
I'll say, just from the woman's point of view, I guess I'm the best person up here for that, is that...
really?
I don't know. Like, where is the diversity on this panel?
For Diamondback sports writer Jeremy Schneider, the panel highlighted the lack of diversity he sees among Diamondback applicants.
In terms of people applying for the Diamondback, he had like one girl and like, I mean, few minorities. It's just, it doesn't look good. I mean, they're doing their best, and I don't know if the best is, I mean, their best is good enough for diversity in journalism.
In College Park, I'm Alex Doberson, Terp Weekly Edition.
Coming up after the break, from terrible to bowl eligible, we'll tell you how Terps football brought in the crowds for homecoming and has fans believing again. You're listening to Terp Weekly Edition.
Y'all ready for this?
Welcome back to Terp Weekly Edition. I'm Jesse Brecker.
And I'm Cindy Lee. Recently, Terp starting right tackle Pete D'Souza broke both legs when his scooter collided with a car by Coalfield House. And early last week, a 16-year-old was killed in a similar accident while riding a scooter in Rockville. This and many other incidents have university police thinking of ways to keep those riding scooters safe. The university senate has started to look into creating helmet regulations, but there's no official word yet. For now, the safety of scooter riders is in their own hands.
After a disappointing 2-win season, not much was expected of the Terrapins football team this year. However, as Terp Weekly Edition's Brian Kaufman reports, they hosted Wake Forest this weekend in the homecoming game with bowl eligibility at stake.
The last time Maryland scored 62 points in an ACC game was 1975. But when Wake Forest came to College Park for the homecoming game Saturday, the Terps were ready. Freshman quarterback Danny O'Brien threw 4 touchdown passes. And with the 62-14 win, the Terps became bowl eligible.
Being bowl eligible is huge. Now the pressure of making a bowl, Coach Fangle was kind of saying, is off. Now it's just going to be what bowl, how good of a bowl it's going to be. So I think if we can just continue to take it one game at a time, one play at a time, we'll like the bowl we're in at the end of the season.
Senior safety Antoine Perez knows that the Terps aren't done.
Looking back on a season like last year and, you know, all the things that didn't go our way, it's just a great feeling to know that, you know, that we're 6-2 right now, we're bowl eligible, and we still have 4 games to play. So, you know, who knows what could happen in these next 4 games. You know, we have a great opportunity ahead of us, and we just have to take advantage of every moment that we get out there.
Linebacker Alex Wojak, a defensive leader on the team, agrees.
It's awesome. I mean, obviously our goals are not to win 6 games, but, you know, it's a good accomplishment for this part of the season. And we just got to keep building on it. I mean, we got a tough schedule coming up, and, you know, like I said before, the ACC is wide open right now.
Junior safety Kenny Tate says the work is far from over.
This was definitely a statement game. We wanted to just prove that we want some respect, I guess. It's just we wanted to become bowl eligible. We're in the hunt for the ACC, so we just came out ready to play.
The man in charge, head coach Ralph Friedgen, is proud of all the team has accomplished this year. The Terps hit the road for their next 2 games at Miami this week and Virginia after that. In College Park, I'm Brian Kaufman, Terp Weekly Edition.
Seems like the Terps are on a great run.
That's right, Jesse. And speaking of running, ever run a 3K? What about a 5K? For these Terps, that's just a warm-up. Terp Weekly Edition's Camille Bufano caught up with some speedy students on campus.
I like to do races.
Did a 5K. I did Chicago, Marine Corps, and Charlottesville.
Doing a 10K.
I've ran 6 marathons since October 2008 and will be completing my 7th.
Do the Cherry Blossom 10-miler every year.
Born to run.
These Terps are definitely active. Senior kinesiology major Nikki Steffen likes the challenge.
It's a mental challenge, I think, to run for that long, so it's cool, like, to be able to do the endurance.
But she stays motivated to train consistently.
Running every day really helps because then my body gets used to the coordination of running.
Senior Teddy Powers has his unique style to prepare.
I didn't train the traditional way. I didn't actually do any long runs.
Senior business major Claire Cochran has run 6 marathons since 2008. She talks about her commitment to train.
It's a 20-week training program. I'll cross-train on Mondays. Tuesdays, I'll do a 7-miler. Wednesdays, I'll try to do a 10-miler. Thursdays, the same as Tuesdays, so a 7. Fridays, I always take off. Saturdays, I'll do a light run. Sunday, I'll do my long runs, which range between 13 and 20 miles.
Technique is key to being a successful long-distance runner. I went for a quick run with Claire so she could show me her form.
This chick is a sick individual.
I always keep my shoulders relaxed. You want to have your hands feel like you have chips in your hands, like you're holding chips. So loose hands, loose shoulders, arms relaxed, legs loose, and I land on the balls of my feet.
Even with good technique, Teddy shared how you can't always prepare for every mishap during a race.
There was this one time where this little kid tried to give me a high five, and I missed. So I decided to take a few steps back. Usually in races, you try to run forward. So I took like 5 steps back to give him his high five.
A marathon is 26.2 miles, battling self-endurance, the hills of the course, and whatever weather decides to come that day. But there's plenty of motivation along the way to keep runners focused on the finish line.
It's so fun because you can get your motivation from other people. So like if you give them high fives, they'll give you high fives and they'll have funny signs and they'll just be cheering you on.
The last 0.2 miles is up a hill actually. And if the Marines see you walking up the hill, they'll grab you and run with you.
But the best feeling in it all is finishing.
It's a great sense of accomplishment when you finish it. You know, after 20 weeks of training, you've put countless hours into training, and it's a really cool feeling when you get to the finish line and you cross the finish line and you get a medal around your neck.
In College Park, I'm Camille Bufano, Turf Weekly Edition.
Up next, students and university officials talk about cyberbullying and the psychological effect it can have on them. Stay tuned to Turf Weekly Edition. Welcome back to Terp Weekly Edition. I'm Jesse Brecker.
And I'm Cindy Lee. Sigma Alpha Epsilon Fraternity is back and was officially recognized again by the University and the Interfraternity Council last week. SAE was kicked off campus in 2004 due to campus violations. However, the 37 members are excited to have full privileges and show the university that they can meet their expectations. President Cameron Dryden said they worked hard to establish themselves in an already strong Greek community, but getting their charter reinstated shows that they are a strong chapter and are hoping to recruit more members now that they are on a level playing field with all the other fraternities.
If you still think bullying is something that only happens in grade school, think again. It is happening to college students nationwide.
That's right, even right here in University of Maryland, and it's happening on the internet. I spoke with students and university officials about cyberbullying.
Fatty.
Slut.
Idiot.
Ugly.
Dyke.
Tubby.
Dyke.
Loser.
These are some of the words a bully would use to make others feel miserable, depressed, and even suicidal. University of Maryland students speak out, saying bullying hurts.
I think it's really upsetting.
It usually makes you feel like crap.
They don't realize that what they're saying is hurtful.
And why does it happen?
I think the people that get bullied are usually stand out from the crowd. And as a result, they're easy to scapegoat other people's problems on because they're different.
You can't be unique in today's world. You have to be a zombie just like everybody else.
Last month, a Rutgers University student committed suicide after his roommate secretly webcast him having sex with another man. Was he also targeted for being different? The roommate was charged with invasion of privacy, but authorities may add a hate crime charge. Dr. Luke Jensen, director of LGBT at University of Maryland, agrees the case should be taken more seriously.
This is not like, you know, someone's taking your lunch money.
this is a lot more serious than that. And it you know, it doesn't border on, it often becomes criminal behavior. You are harassing someone, you're invading someone's privacy. These are criminal offenses. So instead of bullies, we ought to call them criminals.
But the Rutgers case isn't far from our community. Dr. Jensen says University of Maryland students also have been discriminated on campus for their sexual orientation.
Sometimes it happens through the use of the internet or through the use of cyberspace of some sort and people yelling things out of cars.
Jensen says LGBT students often get comments via the internet saying,
basically, you need to change your ways and become straight. Otherwise, you're going to die young, and the list goes on. Some very, very offensive things. And these were members of the campus community who did that. People talk about the N-word when we talk about racism. I can talk about the F-word when it comes to lesbian and gay folks, or the D-word.
The Rutgers case takes traditional bullying to a different level.
People are more inclined to make a mean comment or cyberbully someone because they don't see the other person, and they're just putting out a mean comment, and it has no real repercussion to them.
I think it's just really upsetting that, I mean, people like cyberbully. I mean, I think it's usually just like what the haters and stuff that do that because they're, I don't know, maybe racist or sexist.
They can't stand up for themselves. You know, they have the internet where they're, you know, they're kind of hiding behind a computer.
So why do people choose to bully? Dr. Jonathan Candelo is with the University Counseling Center.
Usually when people, or oftentimes when people are not feeling very comfortable and they feel insecure, they'll take different steps to remedy that. And one of the ways that some people do is to degrade others, to demean others, to basically make themselves feel like they have more power.
Bullying can also end an academic career.
One of my friends got like a text message. It was like, I'm gonna kill you when you get to school or something like that. So she stopped coming to the school. She just quit.
So if you're bullied, what should you do?
You should probably contact someone who can help you out, maybe a friend or some kind of authority if it's a real problem.
It's kind of one of those situations where if you stop reacting to what they say, they stop as well. So I would just ignore them and they would move on to somebody else.
Dr. Candell agrees ignoring bullies is a good solution.
It's important to the extent they possibly can to not react to it, to ignore it, to show, look, you know, you want to do that, fine. Doesn't really matter to me. I know who I am. I know how good I am.
University students also think being a good Samaritan can prevent bullying.
I feel like the biggest problem in bullying isn't actually the bullies themselves. It's actually the people who witness the bullying and do nothing about it and allow it to continue.
When you hear about something going on, you should report it right away.
Dr. Candell says contacting authority figures such as the police is not a bad idea.
But you can also contact the counseling center. If you're being bullied or want to report a bullying case, you may contact the counseling center by logging on to www.counseling.umd.edu. For Terp Weekly Edition, I'm Cindy Lee in College Park.
Welcome back to Terp Weekly Edition. I'm Cindy Lee.
And I'm Jesse Brecker. Coalfield House was roaring with laughter last Thursday night with the Homecoming Comedy Act. I was there and got right in on all the action.
Homecoming, yeah, right. You guys are playing Wake Forest, somebody told me, right? Yeah. Kill him, kill that forest. Yeah. That's it, that guy said it, no one likes trees.
Known for his hilarious drawings and stream-of-conscious comedic style, Dimitri Martin didn't disappoint as the Homecoming Comedy Act this year. Before the show, I spoke with students about their expectations.
I only saw stand-up once on Comedy Central, but I'm excited to like see it live.
I can't wait. I'm a fan of comedy.
I really do like Dimitri Martin a whole lot. I don't know if love may be going too far. I'm not ready for that level of commitment with Dimitri Martin, but I like him.
The night started off with laughter as the opening act, Mike Birbiglia, took the stage.
Some people get out of bed like they're getting off the bench at a basketball game. They're like, all right, let's do this, you know, like hands up or whatever. But I'm like a lame cow in the road. I'm just like, meh.
Birbiglia was a smash hit with the audience, from his hilarious story of jumping out of a second floor window while asleep to his constant banter with the sign language interpreter. The audience was so pleased by his performance that many thought Martin had an extremely tough act to follow.
He was so good that I almost wanted a warm-up act for him, like a warm-up for the warm-up with like a less funny comedian, like an amateur unfunny type of person, because he was like too funny to start with.
I love Dimitri Martin, but I'm hoping he can live up to that performance.
It's hard to tell because I don't know what Dimitri Martin's about to bring, but I thought it was funny. I enjoyed it.
With a tiny intermission, the crowd was all warmed up for the main act. Martin walked on stage in a homemade t-shirt with the word person written across the front and immediately started playing with the balloon decorations on stage. Martin kept his fans happy by having his infamous drawing pad on the right side of the stage and a piano on the left, though he mocked the keyboard that C had given him. While Martin certainly created his act around his college audience, he also had the audience ask him questions and request old jokes. After the show, it was hard not to spot a smile in the crowd, as everyone seemed pretty satisfied.
We all love Dimitri Martin and Mike Birbiglia, so to get them both in one place for such a good price was really good.
I thought it was hilarious. I've always liked both those comedians. They did a good job, and it was a good turnout.
Some of Dimitri Martin's jokes were hysterical. Like, I wanted to just clap really loudly. But.
For Terp Weekly Edition, this is Jessie Brecker in College Park.
That's all for this week. I'm Cindy Lee.
And I'm Jessie Brecker. Don't forget, you can take us with you. You can find our podcast at www.twe.umd.edu.
This has been Terp Weekly Edition, produced and written by students of the Philip Merrill College of Journalism in cooperation with WMUC Radio. Please join us next week at the same time for a look at the issues in and around the University of Maryland College Park.